massive rooms appearing like a multitude of tiny compartments, hallways, door openings, looking like the pathways of an inescapable maze. Letters and numbers designating each room might otherwise be a complex code that only a computer could crack. But there, over here, right in the middle of this intricate design, right smack in the middle, is the representation of what appears to be a solitary chamber. Well, that room is the rest of the story. The building suggested by the floor plan I've just described is a reality today, and so is that chamber. The building is a shining edifice called the United States Capitol, and the chamber is a storage room for one of the most remarkable pieces of carpentry in American history, a simple piece of pine wood furniture covered with aging black cloth, a catafalque, a funeral bier, which was hastily constructed in April of 1865 following the death of President Abraham Lincoln. Well, since Lincoln, 23 prominent American citizens have lain in state in the Capitol Rotunda, but the catafalque supporting their coffins has always been the same, and that funeral bier has always been stored in the same room in the sub-basement of the Capitol building, directly beneath the zenith of the Capitol dome itself. In other words, that storage chamber is the precise geographical heart of the building, and in that sense, the heart of the city of Washington. The room was planned for more than a quarter century before the Capitol was built. Congress knew that the room would be there, and what it would be like, and what it would be used for. In 1799, they knew, though the construction of the rotunda was not finished until 1824. In fact, five more years were needed to complete the entire center section of the Capitol building. But Washington planners had always known there would be a special chamber directly beneath the Capitol dome. 7 by 2.5 foot catafalque stored therein has borne the caskets of some of the biggest names in American history. Not all of the presidents, Garfield, McKinley, Harding, Taft, thus lay in state, Kennedy, Hoover, and Eisenhower, and Johnson, and there were military VIPs, Admiral Dewey and Generals Pershing and MacArthur, and the unknown soldiers of the big wars. You may have forgotten that Senators Dirksen and Humphrey lay in state in the Capitol Rotunda, and FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover. But on each occasion, the same funeral bier bore the dignitaries' coffins, the same one that was built for Abe Lincoln. And that catafalque has always been safe-kept in the same room in the basement under the dome. Now, originally, there was to have been a 10-foot hole in the rotunda floor so that visitors could actually see down into the chamber below. For, you see, that chamber was never originally intended to house a piece of furniture. It was designed as a final resting place, the tomb of General George Washington, President George Washington himself. Congress declared it so. And yet, since the father of his country had expressed a desire to be buried at Mount Vernon, government officials have yet to summon the nerve to exhume him and contradict him indeed. And so in Mount Vernon, Washington's remains remain. His Capitol building crypt awaits him still. But in keeping with our Americanism, I've been wondering, is it really not more fitting after all that at the heart of our nation's capital is not the remains of a past patriot, not some dead and buried symbol of the American dream, but instead, and utterly appropriately, an open and empty tomb? Now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by the Book Heating and Air, your local, reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
All right, welcome back. Our caller is back. Hopefully you guys have gotten your blood pressures down, because we're going to get it back up. Caller, welcome back.
Thanks. I'm sorry to cut into Darcy's time, but back to Paso High. I needed some good news this morning. So I called over there, and I wanted to hear some joy that the privacy barriers were up in the girls' locker room. And instead, what I got was a whole bunch of people saying they don't know and they really weren't interested. So I felt that reply. So I finally got forwarded to the somebody who answered the phone, athletics. And I asked her, and she said, I don't know. I think I got done during the spring break. And I was just amazed at the lack of concern. If we cared about these normal girls as much as we care about the weird kids, it just ain't happening.
I am glad you brought this up. I'm actually going over the high school.
We should send this out to every school in the state and tell them what a solution to the governor's crazy crap is.
Yeah.
It should be every school should know about this.
I am going to be over there this afternoon, and I intend to determine one way or the other whether they accomplished their homework assignment during the allotted time. So I will let you know. But
as you can tell, I needed some good news. I didn't get it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Thank you for caring.
No,
you may want to turn the radio off after this.
Oh, no.
We're not going to give you any good news either. So.
I wanted to tell her I started out like a serve. I threw the ball up expecting it. Oh, it was a muff serve on that trying to get good news. Thank you guys for doing what you do.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks for listening. And for all of you, we do have open phone lines, and that is at 238-KP. Oh, now we've done it. All right, Kenny. I'm going to have to switch seats here.
I broke the button again.
Anyway, we would love to hear from you. It's 805-238-5775. That is the text line as well as the call-in line. And we did want to take a little bit of this next segment just to follow up from the previous discussion about the Paso Robles Joint Unified School District wanting to and proposing a school bond measure coming up for the November election. So there's several things they have to do in order to get that in place. There's the round of consultants, you know, is this possible? There's the surveys, there's the, everyone thinks it's a great idea. But truly, because of Prop 13, which also will be on the ballot in November, save Prop 13.
Yeah, and Tom Steyer is against Prop 13, he's already said.
Of course. So there's a general grouping that you have here. You have people who are invested in government that will never work themselves out of a job. They will never, there's no money in solving problems. So it will be about a crisis, it will be about a reaction, and it will be about how do we get more money from the taxpayers in order to be able to do the things that we think government are important. It's not about what actually works or what actually should be done. From a fiscal responsibility, it is somebody else's money, and how do we get more of it? So it is all about growing government and our state. When we have an actual decline in population, what does that mean for the people that are still here? And basically what it means is government is still increasing and growing. And we gave the numbers out a couple weeks ago as to the number of state employees. And I can talk about the pension plan. Oh my goodness. You have 3.4 million people in CalPERS. Those are active members of the California state pension. And that pension is the largest, if not the largest, very in the top five largest pension plan in the entire world. So it's billions and billions and billions of dollars. And the point is that they have 3.4 million active participants. Our state has something like, let's just round it up and say that it's 34 million people in the state. It's actually closer to about 39 million, I think, maybe 38 at this point. But let's say it's 34. That's one in 10 people. 10 adults, we'll call it. One in 10 adults, I think there is something like 30 million adults in California. One in 10 is a state employee or has been a state employee and is now a retiree. So look around, get a group of 10 people together, and one is being paid by the state. And when you have those numbers and you have the baby boomer generation that are now retired for the most part, there's pretty, you know, I think maybe two more years before people reach 65 years old. And so you have the entire bubble of the baby boomers that are now retired. So you have, for every position in government, you have probably one, two, maybe two and a half retirees. So you not only have to pay for that position and they're pretty healthy salaries in government these days. The rest of the country hasn't had increases in wages like any government, city, county, schools, whatever it might be, because it's other people's money. And it doesn't have to make sense, and it doesn't have to be profitable. And so what they do is they go out and they get more money by doing bonds. And in this case, in the Paso Robles School District, I just keep saying, let's make it personal. So when you look at this, at $220 million bond, just the principal itself, that doesn't even get into the interest. If you want to get into the interest over 20 years, even, it's almost double. It's a little bit less than double that. So I think it gets up to something like $450 million.
So based off of the slides that were provided back in January, there would be 180 there. What are they assuming here? 5% annual or average interest rate, $185.5 million in interest on that bond measure paid out. It doesn't say when it would come due.
I think it's 20 years. But then what happens is these bonds get extended out 20 years, 25, 30, goes to 30 years. It goes to 35, 40, and some in California are now up to 45 years.
Yeah.
What that does is it's mostly interest that's being paid. So I'm going to give the dollar amount every single time I'm here until this keeps coming up. If you have 30,700 active registered voters in the Paso Robles School District, $220 million, not even including interest on that, and divide it by 30,700, it's close to about $7,500 per registered voter.
What was it? 30,700? $7,166.12.
Okay, thank you. We can do the math.
Well, Samsung did the math, but the bottom. Again, the question that I would be asking people on top of this is, are you getting your money's worth?
And so every household, that's $15,000 for, let's say, parents. I mean, even if you have children in the school district, a lot of people, and especially the unincorporated areas, do not have children in the school districts.
Yeah,
and so they're paying a huge portion of that. And I just say for $15,000 per household, I would be demanding quite a bit more from my school district than having air conditioning, because I know that there are people in our community, a group of people get together and just say, hey, how can we get air conditioning in the gym? It would not cost $220 million.
Or if you wanted to budget for it the following year. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I think school boards should be looking at. All right, what's our prioritization for next year? You know, do we want, you know, to build whatever at the new aquatics complex, or do we want air conditioning in the gym? You can prioritize it in the budget. And I still think there's enough fluff in the budget to handle a lot of these smaller projects. So.
Well, I think the portable that we were looking at, a portable changing facility to be able to bathroom with a shower, you can put it out there. How much would it cost? I guarantee you today, by next week, we could have enough funds raised to get that out there so that the girls can have a place to change in privacy.
Yeah, hopefully that won't be an issue after June, but hopefully at least they'll have some temporary relief by this afternoon when I go over there to see if the school's done what it was supposed to do. Hey, I'm going to shift fire off of Paso for a while. Shandon.
Shandon.
Karen Veeley's article. You know, we need people to run for school boards, but if you have a history of having multiple felonies, you probably are not a good candidate. This was Karen's article from the 18th. Shandon school board member charged with felony shoplifting. She apparently had been arrested multiple times before. When you look at Chandon School District, the graduating class of 2026, only 21% met or exceeded standards in English language arts. No graduates will have met standards in math. It raises a lot of questions. Again, you know, California taxpayers,
are you
getting your money's worth? You know, can you look those kids in the eye and say that you gave them a good education? I would argue no. I mean, a lot of people are leaving the state because of things like that. Those that have the means are taking their kids out of the school districts. I was talking to someone the other day, North County resident here, and they drive down to San Luis Obispo to put their child in Slo Classical Academy. Slo Classical, you know, just built a new campus. So you're having a bifurcation of education in the state. It's not going to end well. I believe in public education, but you have to have a good public education system. And right now, if you were to ask me what's the one thing that is keeping the state from having a good education system, I would blame California Teachers Association. I'd put the blame squarely on them, and I think the little local, you know, the Paso Robles public educators are better off being an independent union where they just focus on, you know, the requirements of their local schools and not send money off to the state or the NEA.
Well, and Chandon has a special place in my heart, too, because Chandon was in the November 2024 election. Chandon was one of the precincts that was shut down in the middle of the day for staffing. And what had occurred there over the last, 5 years or so, is that the staffing from the county clerk recorder's office all of a sudden started coming from South County, San Luis Obispo, Arroyo Grande, wherever. And so the people that were assigned to Chandon's precinct as election workers, and by the way, that is not voluntary, that is a paid position. It's not a lot, but better than jury duty, I'll put it that way. So over the last several years, that has been assigned to people who are outside of the Chandon community. So when people, I know that election especially, we had encouraged people to sign up to be a precinct worker, and you can continue to sign up to be a precinct worker for the upcoming elections. Please do. You can do that at slowvote.org or slowvote.com or slowvote.gov. Back to the story is that what happened is there were almost 200 people extra that had signed up to be precinct workers that were sent an email saying, hey, we have enough precinct workers. We don't need you. Thank you very much for engaging in the process. And so to have a precinct be closed down because they didn't have enough staffing is insulting. It's disgusting. And it's actually disenfranchising voters. So I continue to hold that open county clerk recorder that was, if not intentional, it was grossly negligent. There should have been 3 or 4 or 5 people on a waiting list for every single precinct so that every precinct was going to be staffed. So they had to close down at the Chandon precinct midday and move the 2 people that were left over to the Creston precinct. And the Creston precinct had been moved around, so the community of Creston no longer was able to vote in person at the Creston community area. They were sent over to Southern Atascadero, 15 miles away, literally 15 miles away. And people that were in the Dresser Valley, Dresser Ranch area that normally would have had their vote in person on Election Day precinct in Paso Robles, oh no, they were changed over to the Creston precinct. So when I went over to observe at Creston, you had Chandon and Creston people there, and it was a very hectic situation. And then what else happened at Creston? Do you remember?
I don't know. I don't remember.
The power went off at Creston Community Center. So at 6:30 at night, people are literally trying to vote on their ballot by flashlight and close down after the polls close to get their numbers in. So we can do better, people. And this is This is not to be tolerated, and I will continue to bring this up. So Shandon community, please, you know, we care about you as a community. Please get involved. I know it's hard because you're out far enough away. Maybe you're working in Paso, but please get involved in your school board. Get involved in the community the meetings. It's once a month. Same with San Miguel has kind of the same thing. You have Heritage Ranch. You have these smaller communities. People, I'm asking everyone to come together as a community. I know they're trying to divide us, but we are intelligent. We're reasonable people that can solve problems in our own community. We do not need to have the strong arm of the state, the strong arm of a county government that doesn't have any idea what's going on in your community. I suggest that we all get more involved. We have a responsibility. When we have rights, we have responsibilities. So please take a look at your Declaration of Independence. Take a look at your Constitution. Take a look at your the amendments. Take a look, you know, the Bill of Rights, because it's all there. I've been reading the Federalist Papers, and it's amazing what this country, the grand experiment, what this country, the United States of America, can do, how it was intended to be run, and how it was intended that we, the people, can do this. So that's my rant for today. But when we are taxed and taxed and taxed and taxed, I can go into all those taxes if you'd like, Kenny.
No, you don't have to. I will. We got a couple seconds left. Speaking, you know, it's evident to me that the state of California is out of money. And the sort of the straw that broke the camel's back for me the other day was I had to drive out to Hanford to I bought some grain silos, and I borrowed a neighbor's trailer, and the trailer had permanent tags, and I got pulled over by Highway Patrol saying my permanent tags had expired.
Permanent.
Permanent.
What does
tags.
Permanent mean?
I don't think they know. All right, we'll be back in a minute.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks ending mixed as investors monitor developments in the Middle East. A surge in Intel stock leading tech stocks higher and boosting the tech-heavy NASDAQ, which notched a fresh record close. Then the S&P 500 also finished at record levels. Both indexes were higher for the week. However, it was a down week for the Dow. Oil prices fell. West Texas Intermediate crude was around $94 a barrel. Tech was the best performer among the 11 S&P 500 sectors, and it was a banner day on Wall Street for Intel, its stock rising over 23% for its first record close since August of 2000 after the chipmaker posted blowout financial results and guidance. The Dow winners, Amazon, Nvidia, and Microsoft. The Dow decliners, Goldman Sachs, Travelers, and American Express. The Dow falling 80 points, the Nasdaq higher by 398, S&P 500 up 57. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
You didn't want to buy gold when prices were rising. Then you waited when gold pulled back. Now you're stuck in the middle, unsure what to do next. Speak with a precious metal specialist now at NobleGoldInvestments.com. Get the answers you need to stop guessing and move forward with confidence. Their team makes it simple to gain real investor knowledge and insight. Stop trying to time the market. Start spending time in it. Don't let the market move without you. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
When it comes to sustainable energy systems and service, Central Coast residents trust Solarponics. Marilyn from Templeton says, quote, Solarponics installed our system almost 20 years ago. There are occasions when your system needs to be serviced. With Solarponics, work is completed quickly with knowledge and skill. This is as important a part of a solar company as the original installation. Thank you, Marilyn, for your Google review. When we install a sustainable energy system, we're installing a lifetime of as important service. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Attention Central Coast homeowners. Is your water heater over 7 years old? If so, replace it with a heat pump water heater before it fails and save thousands in energy costs. Plus, new rebates cover up to 80% of the cost. Call or click to get a free, no-hassle quote today. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
All right. This is the segment of the show where you need to make sure you've taken your blood pressure medicine.
If it's not clotting, it's boiling. Or if it's not boiling, it's clotting.
We're gonna talk about upcoming elections. I think most of the listeners probably heard about the constitutional amendment that was passed in Virginia on Tuesday. That's being challenged. And actually, from what I'm reading, there are a lot of problems with that. And it may be overturned. But if it is not, at that point, you're going to have a one-seat advantage for the Democrat Party in Congress. If Florida decides to redistrict, then the Republicans will have a one-seat advantage. All the cases, Louisiana versus Calais, comes out from the Supreme Court, Louisiana versus Calais, which was the one that basically said you can't have majority minority districts. If that is overturned by the Supreme Court, you could see a 19-29 seat advantage for the Republicans by 2028. But most everything I'm reading says that if the Supreme Court comes out in June overturning the Voting Rights Act Section 2, if they do that, there's not going to be much impact in 2026.
Well, let's back up, because the only reason why this is coming up, there's supposed to be a national redistricting every 10 years.
Well, so not supposed to be. It's not written anywhere. That's just sort of become the tradition.
When you have the census every 10 years, that is required. A census is required.
Yeah, so that's required, but redistricting is not. It's just sort of become the way it happens. And for everybody, you know, I'm tired of people saying that, you know, all this redistricting started because of Texas. No, Texas had to do what the court told it to do. You know, if you really want to put the blame on somebody, it's California's the state that really started this. You know, they passed Prop 50. You know, they being the other side. But, you know, the Republicans, as usual, in the state of California didn't show up to the game. So, but
I believe that there are different things at play, Kenny, and I think
I don't want to get into that. We need to have
I might be right.
I think we should have a rule that unless it's a Friday the 13th show, we keep the conspiracy theories down to a minimum.
We can become facts, we'll talk about it.
We can have the Friday the 13th shows, or you can just designate if it's a teen number of the month, then we can make it a conspiracy show. But, you know, where I'm going with this is, you know, right now, as I've said, never underestimate the ability of the Republicans to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. And it's going to be most likely 50-50 still in Congress. In California, you know, right now, you know, for the governor's races, you've got, you know, it looks like Steve Hilton, I think, is going to become the Republican nominee. I think one of them needs to drop out and they need to consolidate, because unless unless the Republicans are able to secure both the first and the second position in that race, I've got concerns that you're going to have all the Democrats rally around one person, whether it's
Katie Porter?
No. How did Joe Biden pronounce Xavier's name? Baccaria. Baccaria.
Becerra?
Whether it's Let's Baccaria or Steyer.
Let's just say there's some interesting things coming out about recently about that race as well. Several of the people running for governor, and there are quite a few. I think there's 60 Republicans.
I haven't seen those
names.
Know.
There's a lot of people that are qualified candidates. But when we talk about redistricting, and I didn't quite understand the majority-minority districts, what that meant. And so it has to do, all goes back to the, and it's really Gerry, G-E-R-R-Y. His last name was Gerry, but we call it gerrymandering because the district that was drawn up, this is hundreds of years ago, the district that was drawn up looked like a salamander. And so they called it, he actually voted for it. He said, you know, I think if people want to have a district, they want to have a district, let's go ahead and have a vote. And he voted to have this district that supposedly looked like a salamander. So they call it from ever after that point, gerrymandering, but pronounce it gerrymandering. But that's the history of it.
Okay.
So redistricting is huge because if you do it correctly, it's not necessarily fairly. And it just depends on what you call fair, because you can group people into certain areas to offset, whether it's Republican, Democrat, whatever minority, you know, skin color, racial lines, partisan lines, whatever you want to call it, you can group people together so that there's a slight majority of one over the other, and all of those other people get canceled out.
Well, when we look at the whole gerrymandering issue, what is the main body that controls the voting districts in states?
The legislature. In states, the legislature.
Right. And when I look at the elections, and I've been harping on this for a while, but you know, the focus I think that the Republicans need to have is not necessarily who's going to be governor, because you could have, you can have whoever as governor. You can have a Republican as governor, but unless the Republicans control that legislature, it's not likely that the governor is going to impact that much.
Well,
especially
I'm
if it's a supermajority. But I'm looking at the assembly race, and I'm getting concerned that I see a lot of Don Addis ads on my conservative newspapers, you know, popping up, you know, on the Washington Times or the Fox News or the California Post. A lot of Don Addis, but I'm not seeing a lot of Shannon Kessler. In fact, I haven't seen any Shannon Kessler. I haven't seen any Republican ads at all on those.
Shannon Kessler is a great candidate, and I encourage people, you know, don't think that the Republican Party, San Luis Obispo, you can go on RPSLOC. So it's Republican Party, San Luis Obispo County.org. And a great website. There's all the endorsed candidates. You'll be hearing more. We have callers. We have volunteers. And if you would like to participate and volunteer to help people, their candidacy, please, I encourage you, call down to the Republican Party, Atascadero office, North County headquarters, and let them know that you want to volunteer. You can sign up on the website. And same with the Democrat Party. You have the Paso Robles Democrat Club. You have the San Luis Obispo Democratic Party. So I encourage people, find out about the people running. Find out what their platforms are. Shannon Kessler came from Lucia Marr School District, actively involved in girls not having boys and girls sports. And so there's a huge campaign there. And what has happened is that I even call it the smurfing. A lot of campaign funds went into Act Blue that support Democrat and progressive causes. And so money-wise, I suggest that people get involved personally. If you can't get involved personally, there's definitely funding, and we will have slate cards and calls and texts and things like that that are going out. But we could definitely use your assistance. But go ahead, Kenny.
There was a really good interview last night on Carl DeMaio's podcast. It was Stacy Korsgaarden, and Stacy was talking about
another excellent candidate.
How insurance is now become a income stream for the state, one of the primary income streams, because of the fees and the taxes associated with insurance.
And the fair plan that's required to have insurance. Yeah,
so the problem is that, you know, when you have a structure like that, you don't incentivize the legislature to actually fix insurance costs. And, you know, I would argue it's that way.
The opposite, actually.
Yeah, you're actually encouraging the legislature to either perpetuate or worsen the situation for the taxpayer, or in this case, the insurance payer. But you and I were talking on the break about gasoline prices, and California Globe had an article earlier, and it used a hypothetical gallon of gas at $4.34. I would drive a long way to find a gallon of gas for $4.34 right
now. I fill up twice.
But it breaks out the total cost, and what actually goes to the product and or the private sector costs are 53 cents for distribution margin, 75 cents for refining margin, and then $1.71 for the gallon of crude oil. The rest of that, so that totals $3. $1.34 goes to fees and taxes. And so 2 cents goes to underground storage tank fee. 10 cents goes to state local sales tax, 61 cents goes to state excise tax, 18 cents goes to federal excise tax, 20 cents goes to low carbon fuel standards, and 23 cents goes to cap and trade for a total of $1.34. This article, I've been following the gas crisis, and that's what it's becoming rapidly, on California Globe, but
and
right
this is
now,
partially
because,
self-inflicted for California. No, it's all entirely self-inflicted.
Yeah,
we'll
it's
call
primarily
it that.
Self-inflicted.
So, Kern County.
Some of the numbers. Let me finish this real quick. Okay. Some of the numbers on here, they say 80% of gasoline. Oh, well, it goes into also the fact that our problem is going to trickle into California, or into Arizona, rather. And also into Nevada. But 30% of our oil right now comes from the Middle East. And so there's nothing going through the Straits of Hormuz. And so that oil goes to Southeast Asia, to refineries in Southeast Asia, and then it makes its way across the Pacific to us. So this guy is predicting that, you know, come June, July, things are going to get pretty bad, price-wise and supply-wise, to the point where he's actually saying he's going to stock up on gas. But
it's actually 45 days.
Yeah.
It's between 30 and 45 days, because it takes a certain amount of time to be able to get to the refineries, and then it takes another amount of time to be able to get from the refineries to California. And this is completely self-inflicted. Gavin Newsom has shut down the oil and gas industry in California. And we have some of the largest reserves. All it will take, they've said, oh, well, we're going to start drilling some new wells in Kern County. But Kern County has more reserves than we could serve the entire country.
Well, yeah, well,
from Kern County.
Yeah, we have,
and they have been shut down and largest, shut down and shut down.
We have the fifth largest reserves in the country. But this article goes on and talks about ways to mitigate the cost. And these are things the legislature could do, and that was really the crux of why I wanted to bring this up. There are things that can be done now to mitigate the high energy costs.
They have
one,
no
immediately
interest.
Suspend California low carbon fuel standard. So basically allow us to buy gas from the rest of the country, which we are not allowed to do now. Suspend the summer blend requirements, suspend or substantially cut the California excise tax. You know, all these things could contribute to lower gas prices. But the legislature's not interested in that.
Anyone have any ideas?
We're broke. All right, short
call
break.
In.
Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
We're here to help.
Junior! You know why my TV is turned down so low? Last week, I went down to see Peter Lussier, hearing aid specialists of the Central Coast. He's a nice young feller who tested my hearing. He had me try on these nearly invisible hearing aids. See? They ain't got no buttons or nothing. By gum, I hear like I'm 29 years old. Call Peter at Hearing Aid Specialists. Dial 805-460-7385. Or use your smartphone and go to SloCountyHearingAids.com.
Celebrate mom in style at Allegretto Vineyard Resort on Mother's Day, May 10th. Treat yourself to an indulgent brunch experience featuring everything from fresh salads and Mediterranean grazing boards to made-to-order omelets and a prime rib carving station. Enjoy sweet favorites like chocolate-covered strawberries, mini cheesecakes, tiramisu cups, and more. Plus, mimosas and rosé spritz to toast the occasion. This is a celebration that the whole family will love for an unforgettable Mother's Day at AllegrettoVineyardResort.com.
Open Mic Friday. Kenny and I just had a little bit of a heated discussion and would love to hear from you, but it really has to do with what can we actually do? What can I do to help change the trajectory of our community, of our county, of our state? And so one of the ways that I have tried to get involved here in this community, it's an amazing community, is to, I mean, I came into it from elections, but I got involved in the Republican Party and I got involved in New California State because New California State was trying to form a new state so that we could save the state. And it actually would help California, the old California and New California, and could mean huge things. So we do have a call coming in. Kenny's very thankful you're on the air, caller.
Yes, just a few points about the school bonds and the air-conditioned gymnasium.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, they don't seem to have any concern about adding additional burdens to the already burdened taxpayers. Just concerned about the comfort of the kids, right? And this air conditioning, they're not even in school in the hottest times of the year, the summertime.
Yep.
And in all the years of our history that everybody else went to school without air conditioning, gymnasium didn't seem to be a problem. I think the only thing air conditioning in a gymnasium will give you is snowflakes.
Brilliant. Exactly correct. I mean, I grew up in Arizona, Phoenix area, and let me tell you, when it's 118 degrees out, and even when we started up in school and it was August, September, it was still over 105, 110 on a lot of days. And I think you learn to live in the area you are. Air conditioning's great. It's nice when you're being athletic to have air conditioning, but is this really, I agree. I think we should toughen our kids.
Yeah, well, I worked out in the heat of the Paso Robles summers when in my youth, 20s, 30s, and out there on the hot Atascadero ranches and as a mechanic and doing other things and just had to deal with it, you know. So you spend a little time in a gymnasium that's out of the sun, and you got the doors open. What's the big deal? And then they're not even in school during that time of the year anyway.
Yeah, it's interesting. To throw a little war story in, prior to deploying troops to Iraq or Afghanistan, if it was going to be a summer deployment, they would send them out to 29 Palms for 6 weeks. And they would make them live in unair-conditioned environments because their body basically had to acclimatize. And I do think that if you look at the science side of this, we're not helping the kids. There's this growing culture, I guess, that you know discomfort and stress are bad for you mentally and physically, and that's not true. That's how you build a harder, a tougher kid, a harder sword, you name it, whatever it is, you have to stress it. You have to, keep making it harder and harder if you're going to get it stronger and stronger. And we don't seem to do that anymore as a society. So
talking about tough times with growing up and whatnot, don't even go there with my parents and their generation.
Yeah,
they don't even know what they're talking about with air conditioning.
Well, yeah, you'd have sheets with cold water. So
that's correct. Thanks so much for your call, and we have another caller we'll go to. But appreciate you calling in.
Yep.
Oops, sorry, caller. I just cut you off.
And Kenny is in charge of the board today, and he's
well. That drop button that I broke doesn't work.
So I'm sorry if you could call back in. I'll cover for Kenny.
But yeah, there's a lot to the last caller's point. There's a growing number of articles that talk specifically about we're not helping these kids. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Oh, you hung up on me.
I know.
It's okay.
It wasn't me.
Not the first time somebody's hung up on me. Hey, I just wanted to hear on the subject of soft kids and the softening of our youth. And yeah, absolutely. And, the left, I'm going to say this, the left is soft. Any lefties out there? You're soft.
Yeah.
And you're softening our kids all the time. I mean, just these safe spaces where nobody can talk about things that are unpleasant. Just that whole mentality of, softening and not letting them get into any kind of deep discussions about politics or religion or whatever. And it's just a general, I totally agree with what you're saying. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, I appreciate it. I mean, we're not teaching them how to cope is probably the biggest.
Exactly.
And, I don't know how much money. I wanted to research this to see how much money the district has spent on wellness rooms. And literally after COVID, we had these rooms with beanbag chairs and stuffed animals and lava lamps and you name it. And it was all, if you felt stressed, you could go to the wellness room. Well, if I were a kid and I had the math test that I hadn't studied for, I'd be going, I feel stressed.
I'm a little stressed.
I'm going to go to the wellness room and postpone my math test. So we're not teaching them the right lessons, in my opinion. It I'm afraid it's going to come back and hurt us as a nation later on. But anyways, appreciate the call.
That's a great bumper sticker. The left is soft. It's a fact.
I do actually agree that they're not used to pushback either. So as soon as you actually come forward with something that is reasonable, rational, you've thought about it, you care about it, and you say, you know, I really think you're doing harm. And perhaps you don't think that it's harmful, but we can see the results of where we are now and where we were even pre-COVID. You know, let's even see if we can get it back to the pre-COVID days. And when teachers were not willing, or the teachers' union more specifically, there are amazing teachers out there, but the teachers' union specifically during COVID, to have kids out of school for 2 years, what harm do you think caused there? Let's look at that.
Yeah.
Wellness room is not going to help when you've got 2 years of lack of learning and building on that learning. You have a lot that needs to happen. And I just encourage teachers, maybe you've retired, but there are amazing teachers out there. We need you. We need people that care about these kids and know how to teach. So if you want to, even part-time, I think there should be an opening for teachers who are excellent teachers and were respected by the students. And, you know, I would encourage you to reapply and say, I want to teach. I know how to teach, and I can get results. So maybe the retirees can challenge the ones that are currently teaching and the teachers union and say, I know these things will work, and I can show how it will. So,
well, to throw a monkey wrench into your plan, the problem is also is discipline. Again, going on along the same topic of being soft, it's not an... We're not even disciplining them because we're afraid of, you know, stressing them too much. And that's causing a lot of the good teachers to leave because, you know, the parents get involved and say, you know, little Kenny, you came home and cried. You made him cry for whatever reason. But all right, you got one more call, so we're going to have to let you go. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. Welcome to Sound Off. You're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing today?
Doing great.
All right. Yeah, on the subject of this gentle parenting, if you will, I've got a couple of grandkids, and the parents seem to be trying to gentle parent them. And I see these kids go off sometimes when they don't get their ways. And if I'm asked to babysit, once the parents leave, I notice these kids change a lot because I don't gentle grandparent, if you will. I like what Kenny's saying about, you know, they got to get these kids toughened up a little bit. The gentle parenting doesn't look like it's working. The people that are doing it, they may wish they didn't later.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I agree too.
And I think the nation's going to regret it even more so, because it's not, you know, when I look at all the problems with education, it's not just teachers, it's not just administrators, it's not just parents, it's not just students. It's supposed to be, you know, a coordinated effort there, and it's not. And
well, you know, I think it needs to start in the home, and the parents need to parent.
Right, and I agree with that, but the only way you're going to enforce that right now is the administrators and the schools basically need to say, here are our community standards, and if you don't meet these standards, then we're going to send little Kenny home until he can behave himself, and we're not doing that as an organization, as a school district.
Apparently not.
And, you know, the same, you know, if little Kenny, you know, can't do his math in third grade, then he shouldn't go to fourth grade. But we, you know, we don't want to hurt little Kenny's feelings, so we still send him to the fourth grade. And then you wind up with situations where Kenny's graduating out of 12th grade and he can't do 2 times 2. So, got a lot of work to do. But thank you, sir.
Well, thank you, guys.
All right, that's it. Darsh, any last words?
I think we're going. All right. Appreciate it. We've got school board meeting Tuesday. We've got Tascadero Republican Women meeting Tuesday. Get involved. You can call one of us, call the Republican Party, call KPRL, Thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. Darshan and Kenny signing off.
All right. Chin up. Got a lot of work to do.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.